So let's go ahead and get started this evening. I've already given you the introduction to who we are and all that. And, you know, I like to, some of the most favorite things for me to do is to minister to people who are ministering to others. You know, I love doing crusades. We've done crusades in South Africa and different places, going to villages in Russia, and that is awesome. I love doing that as well. But there's just something to me special about teaching people who are absolutely committed and sold out, and just is a different dynamic of what takes place, because you're talking to people who recognize a whole lot more. You know, sometimes you go to churches and you preach some good stuff, and you're just sitting there and you're like, wow. You know, the people are like, oh, that's a good message, you know, but to teach people who are in Bible school, to teach people who are wanting to reach others, you know, it's just a totally different dynamic, amen. So tonight, I believe I'm going to share some things with you tonight that are going to be absolutely important for you. And for your future, and for what you're going to do with the Lord, and what He wants to do in you and through you. I know that probably not every single person here will be in full-time ministry, so to speak, but you know what? It doesn't matter what you do and what God has for you. You can work a job, because you know not everyone's going to be in full-time ministry, and a lot of people are going to have that normal job. And what I've discovered is that ministers and people who are not full-time ministers, they a lot of times, as believers, the devil always tries to get us to doubt whether or not we're actually fulfilling God's will in every area, because he gets us to focus on what we think we're not doing instead of trying to get us to focus on what God is doing. Amen. And so tonight I'm going to talk about the will of God. And it's not going to be like a normal teaching. It's not going to be about how you find the will of God. I don't need to teach on that.
Amen.
You're here.
Amen.
If you didn't know how to hear God, you wouldn't have come here. I know that. Think about that.
That's right.
Why are you here unless you believe God told you to come here?
That's right.
So you can hear God. Amen. And so I just want to hit on a few brief topics here this evening. And I believe that tonight, this first session, we're going to go into another dynamic in the next session. But I really believe that everywhere that I've gone and I've taught this, God opened my eyes. How many of you ever had God just open up just a new wrinkle on something and it just, how come I never saw that before? And you go and you share it, and people get set free everywhere you share it. I'm just so blessed because it has set me free. Because the devil will always try to get us to doubt that we're hearing God, that we're doing our own thing, or whatever it might be. He'll try to get us to doubt that we've heard what we've heard. Am I the only one? You've heard God, you get excited, and all of a sudden you start thinking about how, and you talk yourself out of it.
That's right.
The devil knows what he's doing. He's been doing this for a long, long time. And you know what? The devil doesn't have to stop us. He just has to get us to doubt. Doubt always neutralizes what God wants to do. Amen. So I just want to start off this evening, and I just want to show you a few things from the Word. Let's start off in John chapter 10. And we're not going to go very far into this, but in John chapter 10, I want to show you some things, because a lot of times I've discovered in my life, I've been in full-time ministry as a missionary and pastoring and going to different places since 1999, and I'm sharing with you some things that God has shown me in the last 15 years that I hope that I can teach you and share these things with you so it can help you to be a little bit further along and not have to learn these lessons. Now, we all have to learn our own lessons. That's not what I'm saying. But if you can learn some of these things I'm teaching you tonight, I believe it's going to help you and maybe shave a few years.
That's good. Yeah. Shortcut.
Not necessarily shortcut, but us stopping.
That's right.
Because of doubting.
Amen.
And different things that take place. So let's turn over to John chapter 10. And we're going to look at the very first verse. And it says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. Notice it says the sheep hear his voice. Didn't say might. Jesus said a little bit later on the same chapter, my sheep hear my voice. Are you a sheep?
Yes.
Then you hear his voice. A lot of times we don't recognize that we're hearing his voice because we would prefer to hear it in a different way than the way God's speaking. And so it says, my sheep, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Notice what Jesus says. He says, he calls you by name. How many of you have ever gone to a government office? They don't want your name, they want your number. Why? It's not personal. God doesn't call you by a number, he calls you by name. How many of you ever met someone that they don't even remember your name? And that's fine, because a lot of times I don't remember their name, and I'm thinking, oh, I know that person from someplace. You know that God, that never happens with God. He knows your name. How many of you ever met someone you met one time and they remember your name? And they're like, wow, how did you remember my name? Wow. It makes you feel blessed, doesn't it? When they call you by name. God calls you by name because he wants intimacy with you. You know, God could have issued us the equivalent of a social security number. God, this is number 439. I'm not giving my number, but this is number. And he goes, let's keep reading. It says he leads them out, and he brings, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. God never leaves you alone.
Amen.
Every time God tells you to go somewhere, he's always gone before you to prepare the way. It says, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. That's why the devil tries to get us to doubt that we hear his voice. Because God leads us by his voice. That's what it says. He leads us by his voice. He doesn't lead us by what we see.
That's right. Praise God.
And since we're joined to him, and we're now one spirit with him, we usually hear him in our hearts. How many of you ever just been praying in the Spirit and all of a sudden this just exciting idea comes to you?
Amen.
What you need to do, you need to write that down and pray in the Spirit and think about it for a while and let the Lord open more up to you. But what happens is that next day we forget exactly what it was, or we start getting excited, and then the devil starts saying, well, what about this, and what about that, and what about this, and what about that? And that, and then we talk ourselves out of, well, that couldn't have been God. You know what I've discovered? If you look in the fruit of the Spirit, fear is not in there. And I discovered this one key ingredient, and I'm telling you, this will help you. Write this down, because there will be a test, not for me, but in life. God never uses fear to lead his people.
That's right.
Every time God's told me to do something, there was always opportunity to get into fear. And ample people trying to tell me all the reasons why I should be afraid.
That's right.
And you know what? In the natural, they were right. We went into some Zulu areas. Okay? And I don't know if you know this, but there's a lot of violence in South Africa. A lot of problems. And so we felt God was telling us to go into this area. Okay, there were no churches in that one area. Now, there were churches, don't get me wrong, obviously in South Africa. But where we were going, it was kind of off to the side, and there was no churches there, and the people were kind of cut off, and they don't have money to go and take and try to wait for a van to come by and bring them to a church then miles down the road. So we just felt like, God, I want you to go there. And you know what? When we decided to go there, all the thoughts, I'm telling you, we had people having dreams about bad stuff happening. Do you know that people mean well, but they're wrong?
Yeah.
God is not going to say, oh my God, why are you doing this? What if you go out there and you get killed? God doesn't say that.
You say hallelujah.
That's exactly right. When I read the Gospels, Jesus said, some of you, they're going to kill. He didn't say, don't go.
That's right.
Hello?
Right.
You know, we were told, they will rape your daughters because rape's a major problem. You're going to drive into that area. Now, folks, there's no cops there. You're going to drive into that area being who you are and bring your daughter, because we bring our kids with us everywhere we go. And you know what? We had to sit there. And you know what? This isn't God, because this is all fear-based.
Yes.
If God doesn't want us to go there, he'd just say, don't go there. That's all he'll say. He'll say, go here.
Amen.
But he never, ever uses fear of failure. How many of you ever didn't do something because of fear of failure? Let me just say this. God doesn't mind if we make mistakes. When we were flying into Venezuela, I was looking out the window, and I've discovered this about the devil. People who want to please the Lord, how many of you want to please the Lord? Raise your hand. The devil knows that. He's not going to tell you you don't. He will use your desire to please the Lord against you. And this is how he'll do it. But what if this isn't what pleases the Lord? What if this is your own idea? Oh, I just don't want to miss. I just want to please the Lord. I don't even know what I'm talking about. And it's genuine.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he neutralizes you with fear about doing something that might not be God's perfect will. So let me just sit and pray a little bit longer. And I'm not against praying, but you know the devil will get you to pray if it'll get you to not do anything.
That's good.
The devil's slick. You need a little bit more time of fasting and prayer. Let me tell you, if you're waiting to feel prepared, you will never do anything.
That's right.
You are not qualified. Write that down. I am not qualified. He's qualified. That's why he had to come live inside of you. You're not qualified. The Bible says in Colossians 1:12, thanks be unto the Father who has qualified us. He qualifies us. So I'm flying into Venezuela, and I'm like, oh, Lord, fear grips my heart. I'm looking at this new land. We're about to live there. My wife and my two daughters, they were very young at the time. Jeremiah wasn't even conceived at that point. And we're about to land in Venezuela, and I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, I just don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to miss your will. And the Lord clearly spoke to me, and he said, I don't mind if you make mistakes. Because you can't make mistakes unless you're going for it. So don't be scared of making mistakes when you go for it. Just don't make the mistake to not go for it. I've discovered this. God always uses on-the-job training. Yeah, he does send you to places to get the word. That's true. But you're never going to feel prepared. That's normal. Anyone who ever says that they've got it, That's bad, because God don't have it, if that's the truth. If that's true, if you have it, then God doesn't. So God never uses fear to lead you. All the questions that come when God told us to go to Russia, all the questions came, oh, what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? Where are we going to live? We don't speak the language. We don't have supporters. What are we going to do? The people of, this was 99, of course, you know, no knowledge of Russia at all. I mean, they were our enemies. They carry AK-47s on their back. Their women wear combat boots. And of course, they don't. But that was the story, was it not? And so I had to recognize all of that was just fear and not God.
Amen.
Fear of the unknown. We're going to look at that in the next session. Let's go back to John chapter 10. I'll go to verse 7. It says, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came up before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I want to say another thing about voice, how God leads us by his voice. How many of you remember the story of Elijah? when he fled from Jezebel and he was in fear. What does that show us? It doesn't matter. Even if your name in your life and your ministry is recorded in the Bible, you can still get into fear. Same tactics of the devil, different generation of people. Remember, God asked Elijah, what are you doing here? And all of a sudden, God sent the earthquake, and he sent the fire, and it was earthquake, and all these things. And it says, and God wasn't in those things. It said, but then the still, small voice, and God was in that. What did Elijah do? He wrapped himself up in his mantle. What does that mean? He was getting away from all the distractions and getting alone with God. And notice it said that it was the still small voice. Still is representative of being at rest and being at peace. I've discovered you can't hear God when you're not at rest.
Amen.
Because you become desperate to hear God. And sometimes, you know, you're in a bind and something happens and God speaks to you. That is true. But as a rule, we can't hear God when we're in turmoil. We have to get out of turmoil and get back into faith and in peace in Him. Knowing that we trust Him. God, my hand's in your hand, and I know your word says no one can snatch me out of your hand. I know I'm in the safest place, even though everything I can see, let me just wrap myself up in that mantle again. Block off all these distractions. Get at rest with God. And I think Lisa taught on being still, did she not? This is what I'm talking, that's what I'm talking about. But notice it was, God spoke to him in the still, small voice. See, a lot of times we want God to speak to us in a booming voice, in the earthquake. I have wanted God to send me angels. But I've noticed God speaks in that small, still, small voice. Why the small voice? It's not a low voice, so you can barely hear. It's a type and a picture of intimacy. My wife and I were married. And every night, every evening, we go to bed. And sometimes, before we fall asleep, I'm laying on my pillow, looking at her. She's laying on her pillow, looking at me. And sometimes, we talk. How many understand what I'm talking about? And are we speaking in a loud voice like I am right now? No. Speaking in a very low voice. Is it because I don't want her to hear me and she doesn't want me to hear her? No, it's because we're close. Don't have to speak so loud. So when God's speaking to you in a small voice, it's because He's close with you. And I've discovered the closer we get with Him, the clearer we hear Him.
Amen.
That's why we need to be at rest. Because that's why the devil tries to bring turmoil into our heart so that we doubt that we've heard what we actually have heard. Let me just say this. How many of you ever had the thoughts torment you that you don't hear God? Anybody beside me?
Yes.
At any point? Oh, I don't hear. I don't hear God. Let me ask you a question. Why would the devil tell you that unless you did hear God? If you could not hear God, He'd leave you alone. But because you have heard God, He wants you to doubt you hear God. So you never see God do through you what He wants to do through you. One time I was going through a season where I was doubting. It was actually, I was in Bible school at the time. I was like, oh. And I started to recognize that I was looking for God's voice in things and doubting how I was hearing Him. And I remember they had a visiting minister come to the school, and he was praying for us one by one. And as he came to me, he came up to me and he grabbed me by my ears. And he just said, "Praise God. God shows me that you hear His voice." And he walks away. That's all he did. Now, consider, this guy doesn't know me. And he spoke to the very thing I was doubting, saying that I did hear him. it dawned on me, the devil knows those who are hearing him, and that he wants to put doubt in their heart about what they've actually heard. So that they waffle, and they kind of just sit there, and they become paralyzed, and they become neutralized. You know, you don't have to defeat your enemy if you can find out how to neutralize your enemy. If you can have your enemy scared of you, and you don't even have weapons, but they think you do.
Right.
Seemed like Sodom did that pretty well, didn't he? You know, and the truth is that it kind of came out that he was sending false reports because he didn't have it and he was scared. So if you can make your enemy think something, you can neutralize them. Amen. I just want to say that the first step to knowing God's will is to desire to know God's will.
Right.
Do you know that you can't even desire to know God's will unless God put that desire in you? So therefore, you already are fulfilling some part of God's will. Just by desiring God's will. Jesus said, no man comes to me unless the Father draws him. How many of you have come to Jesus?
Amen.
Therefore, you heard God. No wonder the devil tries to get us to doubt the simple things that we've already done, that have already produced the greatest miracle in our life. I'm telling you, it's going to be so simple by the time we're done tonight that you're going to sit there just like it says in Isaiah, is this the man? Oh, you know, Paul said, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. Tonight, we're exposing some of his devices. Let me tell you, ignorance can be deadly. And right knowledge can get you to where you don't even need your glasses anymore. Amen. One thing I've discovered is that one thing that will keep you from the will of God is fear concerning the will of God. Fear just paralyzes us. No wonder fear is one of the biggest tactics of the enemy. Because think about it. Fear, you don't have to do anything if someone's scared of. If someone has this fear in the heart, you really don't even have to do anything. Let me tell you, the devil's been doing this for a long time. He knows what works. Let me just also say this. None of us can perfectly fulfill the will of God, yet God loves us and chose us anyway.
Amen. Glory. Thank you.
Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up in a home that was perfectionistic. And if you're not careful, that spirit will transfer over to your relationship with the Lord. And you will think that he's demanding perfection from you. But think about it. If God were a perfectionist, we'd all be dead.
That's right.
Now, God is perfect. God is perfect, but he's not a perfectionist. Perfectionist is actually a spirit of disapproval. Because the person who's a perfectionist actually disapproves of their own self. I had to discover that. Because until you discover that, you actually think you're doing everything wrong. And when you discover that God is not expecting you to be perfect, because he's the one who is perfect, and he died for you, and he now lives on the inside of you. How many of you know if you're perfect, you don't need him?
That's right.
The only thing we can do perfectly is perfectly believe him. And none of us have gotten there yet, but I want to go for that. But God's only looking for us to believe him with our whole hearts. Amen. Now, Jesus was the only one who was perfect. And none of us will be. I want us to look at this one aspect of the will of God, and I really believe that this is really going to be something that's going to settle something forever in your hearts. And that is this. you are already fulfilling the will of God. I'm not even talking about that you're here in Bible school, and we're going to go through some verses, and you're going to say, just like I did, I really believe, because everywhere I've gone, people, it's so simple. How come I've never seen it before? Let's turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, let's look at verse 18. James 1:18 says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. How many of you are his child?
Amen.
Do you know that is his will, not your will? Do you know what fulfilling the will of God is? It is not what you do for God. Listen to me carefully. You fulfilling God's will is not you doing something for God. It is allowing God to do what he wants through you. What did Jesus say? Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you have received the Lord?
Amen.
Then you're in the will of God.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't your choice. You didn't convince God to do this. He had to convince you he did it.
That's right.
And you believe it. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's look at verse 9. 2 Peter 3, 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How many of you have come to repentance? In other words, you changed your mind, and you now believe what God says is true. How many of you are no longer perishing because of that? Do you know that's God's will? Therefore, if you're no longer perishing and you've come to him, you are seeing the will of God in that area, and that's the most important one, perfectly fulfilled in your life.
Amen.
How many of you are starting to see the will of God isn't as difficult as the devil's tried to make us and religion's made it?
That's right.
Amen. Brother, you just have to be in the will of God. What's that? Just because you received Christ, you are allowing God's will to be fulfilled through your life. Let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Let's look at verse 12 and 13. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. How many of you have come to him? That says it was his will, not your will. In other words, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God's will is being done in your life simply because you received Jesus. How many of you see this? Galatians chapter 1. So the next time the devil tries to tell you, oh man, you're missing the will of God, just remind him, no, I'm not. I'm all in the will of God.
Right.
So, you know, you got to talk back to the devil and tell him, man, I am not missing the will of God. I am all up in the will of God.
Right.
God said he was not willing that I should perish. So I'm not perishing. I am seeing the will of God fulfilled in my life. Let me again, fulfilling the will of God is not you fulfilling it for God. It is allowing God to fulfill his desires in and through your life.
Amen.
Amen. Galatians 1, verse 4. Look at verse 3 first. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. Grace to you and peace. You know you can't have peace without God's grace? Because you could never do anything to have peace with God. It took Jesus Christ himself, what he did on your behalf, by his grace to even make peace possible in your life. That's why Paul always, just about every time he said peace, not every time, but he usually always included grace and peace together, and grace was always listed first. Because there is no peace without grace. And grace is not what you do. It's just receiving what he's done. Amen. It says, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. How many of you have been delivered? You've seen the will of God fulfilled in your lives. Next time the devil starts beating your brains in about the will of God, just say, devil, I am seeing the will of God fulfilled in my life perfectly simply because God wanted to save me. He wanted to deliver me, and I didn't resist him. I let him. So shut up. You're the one who's out of the will of God. I'm telling you, he gets, this isn't working like I thought. Let's go to Ephesians. This is really good. Ephesians chapter 1. It's a good verse 4. It says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Not your will. But notice it didn't just say his will. It had said his good pleasure of his will. Do you know that when you allowed God to adopt you, you brought him good pleasure because it was his will? And you said, yes, Lord. So you're seeing the will of God fulfilled in your life in the most important way. And I believe when we get this settled in our heart, then God's able to do through us what he wants. Because until this is settled, that we are already fulfilling the will of God in this area of what God wanted to do for us and in us, we will never truly be able to allow God to do what he wants to do through us. Because we will be looking to what we do to bring us pleasure outside of him. And we will be looking to what we do to somehow qualify us and make us feel like our lives count for something. How many of you know we can look at our lives, we can go to work every single day, and we think our lives are not amounting to anything? You know what? You're in the will of God. Every single day, you're in Christ. You're in the will of God. You're in the will of God. You are in the will of God. That has to be absolutely settled in your heart. Because the devil's trying to attack that so that you do what you do in the flesh instead of rest. We need to believe that we please the Lord simply because we're in Christ. What we do for Christ does not please him if it's not in him. And we're going to see this probably in the next hour. You know what else? How many remember Matthew chapter 8 and verse 3? The leper said, Lord, if it's your will, you can heal me. You can make me clean. And Jesus said, I do will. And he healed him. So when you allow God to heal you, you're in the will of God. Now, don't misunderstand me. We all have things. I'm not saying that if you're sick, you're out of the will of God and God's upset. Not what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying that God wants to do so much for us. It's so much available to us.
Yes.
And we need to be sorted and settled that we're already in the will of God in Christ Jesus. When you know God loves you and you love him, you are fulfilling his will. We need to be convinced that we are in God's will simply because we're in Christ. Now, when that's settled, now we're able to allow God to fulfill his will through us. What is one of the main ones? Loving others. You know, you can't truly love another unless you really believe you're loved. Someone who's broke can't give another man something to eat. You understand what I'm saying? But when you know that God loves you simply because he does, you know, sometimes you just need to think about that. God loves me simply because he does. Why does God love me? Simply because he does. Have you ever asked God that before? Why do you love me? You know, he never answers that. Why did you choose me, God? He never answers that. He just wants us to believe it. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
We're going to look at a few scriptures because we need to wrap this up. But we're going to look at a few scriptures concerning the will of God through us. Ephesians 6:6. Look what it says. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, not from the flesh. So when we know that we're in the will of God, we know that God's pleased with us simply because we allowed Him to save us. We're able to do things from the heart, not from the flesh. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's go to verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. It says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How can you give God thanks in everything? Notice it didn't say for everything.
That's right.
But in everything, give God thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How can you do that unless you know in your heart you are fulfilling God's will by receiving Him and loving Him and He loving you? That's your greatest calling. That's the greatest fulfillment of God's will. Right there. So if we become aware that we are already in God's will because we are in Christ, you will find yourself full of peace and hope, and then you will find yourself hearing and being led by the Lord clearly. Amen? That is just some good stuff.